This unit begins a discussion of the more popular set of terminologies in use today. Some of the technologies address only some small component of the total requirements. Most control vocabularies were originally designed for a specific purpose, but over time expanded the scope. None were designed as a clinical communication language. The terminologies covered in this subunit include ICD-9 and ICD-10, the International Classification of Disease created by the World Health Organization, common procedural terminology owned by the American Medical Association, diagnostic related groups used by CMS, NDC or National Drug Codes used by FDA, RX Norm created jointly by NLM and also used by the FDA, LOINC, created by a consortium led by Dr. Clem McDonnell, then of the Regenstrief Institute, now the head of the Lister Hill Center at the National Library of Medicine. This slide shows the evolution of ICD through a number of versions. The U.S. is probably the last major country to use ICD-9, and we are on a path to convert to ICD-10 by 2013. ICD-11 is under current development and will be available for use by 2015. ICD is sponsored by WHO. ICD is the most commonly used control terminology worldwide, and it is used primarily for coding diagnoses. CMS requires its use on billing claims. The CM is for clinical modification and is defined by the U.S. to extend the code set for billable items. Most control vocabularies are more than a list of words. The next two slides illustrate approaches to a terminology model. Vocabulary sets use different models, which sometimes make it difficult to map from one vocabulary set to another. Many coding systems are based on a strict hierarchy in which a term can be linked to a higher order term. In other words, a child can have only one parent. In this example, cholera is an infectious disease, which is a disease. Tuberculosis is a form of lung disease, which in turn is a disease. The advantage of a strict hierarchy is that the diagnostic process can move from a higher level, less precise term to a more precise term. Queries can be directed at any level, and so a query for infectious diseases would yield both cholera and meningitis. In a polyhierarchy, a term can have more than one parent. In this case, tuberculosis is noted both as a lung disease as well as an infectious disease. Both pathways lead to the top level of the disease. In this structure, if we queried for infectious disease, we would get tuberculosis. If we queried for lung disease, we would also get tuberculosis. This slide illustrates several of the problems with ICD. First, tuberculosis is represented by a large number of codes with little distinctions that are clinically based. Secondly, no physician would ever write down a diagnosis of primary tuberculosis, but no exam. Many of these codes are really billing codes and not medical codes. Some of these codes are compound and mix a physiological condition with a process or a procedure. These codes work for reimbursement, but are not particularly good for clinical coding. The NEC means not elsewhere coded, and NOC means not otherwise coded. Again, these terms are not clinical and can lead to problems, as we will note later. So what does other respiratory TB mean? This might work for billing, but does not provide the level of granularity required for clinical decision support algorithms. The DSM-IV codes are similar in structure to ICD codes. It was created by the psychiatric community because ICD did not provide the level of specificity and completeness the community felt that it needed. It is a reasonably stable vocabulary. It has not changed a lot since it was first defined. It is more of a list of words than it is knowledge-based. It was not created for use in database structure and does not have the richness of hierarchical linkages. DSM-IV is published by the American Psychiatric Association, and it is not free for use. CPT was developed by the American Medical Association. CPT codes are required by CMS. The licensing fee for CPT codes can range from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars, depending on the size of the institution. CPT codes are redundant with other coding systems, but are an important source of revenue to AMA and continue to be required. CPT codes are used to define, for example, the purpose of billing, the nature of the visit, initial, routine, complicated, and the extent of activity by the provider. Here are some examples of CPT codes. Note how specific some of the codes are. These codes have much significance related to billing. The reimbursement may differ greatly depending on the code used. A method to determine how providers should be paid related to effort is based on the CPT codes. That process, called the Relative Value Scale, RVS, assigns a relative value to a CPT code, which is adjusted by geographic region. The scale is based on physician work, practice expense, and malpractice expense. It does not include outcome, quality of service, severity, or demand, hence a criticism. DRG codes are used to group hospital cases into approximately 500 diagnosis-related groups. Each group includes a diagnosis, procedures, and other factors such as age, severity, complication, comorbidities, and other terms. DRGs have been adopted by most payers and also are used in some other countries. This slide shows examples of DRG coding. The patterns for reimbursement can be clearly seen. Coding skill and interpretation of DRG codes can also play a big factor in reimbursement. Again, this set does not work for clinical documentation. It's only used for billing. These codes show a grouping of diagnoses and procedures and some of the other factors that we noted in the previous slides. The basis of the grouping is that these are diagnoses and procedures and other factors that are expected to have similar hospital resource use. National drug codes are used by the FDA. It is a list of all the drugs manufactured for commercial distribution. The NDC code is a 10-digit three-segment number which serves as a product identifier for human drugs, also for reimbursement. It identifies the labeler, the product, and the trade package size. Codes may be reused and are limited in representation of drugs. For example, the code for aspirin with codeine is 54868-0385. The listing also includes dosage form, routes of administration, active ingredients, strength, and units. As noted, the NDC codes are used for reimbursement. RX Norm provides normalized names for clinical drugs and links its names to many other drug vocabularies commonly used in pharmacy management and drug interactive software, particularly for decision support. Some of the groups that work with creating RX Norm are First Data Bank, Micromedics, Medispan, the Gold Standard Alchemy, and Multum. By providing links between these vocabularies, RX Norm can mediate messages between systems not using the same software and vocabulary. RX Norm now includes the National Drug File Reference Terminology, NDF-RT, from the Veterans Health Administration. RDF-RT is a terminology that's used to code clinical drug properties, including mechanism of action, physiological effect, and therapeutic category. RX Norm is produced by the National Library of Medicine and is included in the Unified Medical Language System. This slide illustrates the components of the relationship that make up RX Norm. It is likely that RX Norm will become the preferred coding system for drugs in the United States. It includes ingredients, composition, form, dosages, packaging, generic name, and brand name. This slide shows the relationships between these terms. So RX Norm is a very comprehensive coding system, and its components are very useful for both clinical purposes and for billing purposes. As noted, the Veterans Administration National Drug Formulary Reference Terminology support RX Norm and includes active ingredients, drug components, clinical drug, the drug form, drug product, and other detailed information. These files are used with RX Norm. Structured product labeling is the data that's contained on the small print sheets that you would find in the packaging of a medication. SPL defines the content of prescription drug labeling in an XML format. SPL has this data as structured data that can be read and used by a computer. This feature is important for e-prescribing systems and for clinical decision support systems. DailyMed provides high-quality information about marketed drugs. This information includes the FDA labels or the package inserts that we were talking about. The DailyMed works from the SPL. The NLM site provides health information providers and the public need for a standard, comprehensive, up-to-date lookup and download resource of medication content and labeling. The DailyMed formats the data of SPL into a human-readable and understandable form. This database is the source of an information sheet that's typically printed and given to patients. LOINC, and we've already talked about this organization before, is used in the U.S. primarily for the name of laboratory tests. It is quite widespread in the U.S., and it is available without charge. Clinical LOINC is less frequently used. LOINC codes are used by many other commercial clinical laboratories. New codes can be quickly added to LOINC with simple processes. LOINC has been defined by experts working in the field. Its roots came from major health centers and commercial laboratories. These axes of LOINC were defined by asking the question, what are the minimum characteristics we need to know to be able to uniquely identify lab tests? And they're listed on this slide. First of all is the component, and this is what is measured, evaluated, or observed. An example for laboratory include potassium, hemoglobin, hepatitis C antigen. The next axis is property measured, characteristic of what is measured, and examples include length, mass, volume, timestamp, enzyme activity. The timing is the interval of time over which the observation or measurement is made. Examples include a point in time or an observation integrated over an extended duration of time, for example, a 24-hour urine. The type of sample is the context or specimen type on which the observation is made. Examples include urine, blood, or serum. The type of scale includes quantitative, which is a true measurement, ordinal, which is a ranked set of options, nominal, a text, for example, E. coli, and a narrative, which is a dictation or perhaps from an X-ray. The method is the procedure that's used to make the measurement or observation. Example would be a cuff method for blood pressure or an automated blood pressure measurement. Note that these axes enable the systems to disambiguate any similarities among the names. So we can tell a difference between sodium, for example, measured from blood and sodium measured from urine because they will have different axes and therefore will result in a different code. This slide shows three examples. The first is sodium. The property measured is substance concentration. It is measured at a point in time. It's from a serum, and the measurement is quantity. And these other examples, including the glucose, which is a little more complicated in that this is measured over a period of time. It's a 3-hour measurement. LOINC continues to evolve with new codes. New directions includes terminology for genomics. LOINC has a defined process for submitting new terms, and anybody can submit a term proposed for inclusion into LOINC. It does go through a validation process. LOINC is perhaps the fastest of all the control vocabulary groups to be able to add a new code to the system. LOINC also includes the clinical codes that we've already noted, but these typically overlap with SNOMED. LOINC also has codes for HL7 documents, as we will see later, and for standardized questions that can be included on standard questionnaires. For example, there will be a series of questions that may deal with a concept that we've talked about before of do you smoke. These will be specific in how the question is asked and will be traceable back to understanding exactly how that question was asked so it could be used appropriately. There's a free tool that comes with LOINC that can be downloaded at no charge. It's called the Regenstrief LOINC Mapping Assistant, or RELMA, and it's available for searching and working with LOINC codes. There is a web-based version of RELMA now available. In addition to funding by the Regenstrief Foundation, this was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson and the National Library of Medicine. Consequently, LOINC is available at no charge. There is a close relationship between LOINC and HL7 messages, and we'll talk about HL7 messages in a later unit. But looking at this slide, the thing that we're looking at is an OBX segment, which is an observation, and this is the kind of message that's used to pass the results of a laboratory test from the clinical lab, for example, to the hospital that ordered the test. The data element is identified by a triplet. First is the actual LOINC code, second is the test name, preferred name, and the coding system, which would be an LN, which would indicate that the code comes from LOINC. So you will hear much conversation about free text or narrative and structured data. Free text means that the source of the data enters or writes the documentation in free form without control or structure. That narrative is subject to all the problems we have discussed. It is difficult to use free text to drive clinical guidelines, decision support systems, queries, analyses, and other purposes. Terminology or data elements are one of the most important enablers to achieve semantic interoperability. The next subunit will continue to discuss other controlled terminology sets.